Hi there. Thank you for choosing to listen to this sermon. We pray that God would use this as an added resource to benefit you in conjunction with you belonging to a local church near you. This sermon was preached at Central Baptist Church, Pretoria. 130 years of believers loving God, caring for one another, and impacting the world.
Well, we continue this morning in another psalm. And Psalm 23, well known, I think, to all of us, I would imagine. And a psalm that we look at again this morning. And I do trust that that the Lord would minister to us through this psalm. So Psalm 23, do keep your Bible open, reading from the first verse. So it's a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Just so far, God's word. Let's just bow together again in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank You for the word as Tim has prayed this morning, but thank You that the word, Your word, points us to the great shepherd of the sheep. And as we come, Lord, to this passage this morning, I pray that by Your Spirit, You would indeed lead us as we are taught in this psalm, that You would refresh us, Lord, sustaining us in faith, that indeed to be able to sing as we've just sung, "It is well with my soul." So we pray for each other, Lord, each of us come here this morning with a week behind us that would be very different. And some rejoicing this morning, others, Lord, feeling a sense perhaps of heaviness, challenges. Do pray that Your word would meet each one of us at the point of need. As we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Well, in a few days' time, a couple of men from our church are going on a hunt in the bush near Tabazimbi. I want you to imagine, just in the introduction of this message this morning, imagine for a moment being in the shoes of a rooibok, or a warthog, or an eland, or even, what was the other one I wrote down here, a buffalo. My point is this: I can guarantee you that none of them have any idea of what is coming. They have no idea. They are completely unaware that there will be some among them who are going to be shot. In other words, that means a bullet in the head. Thereafter, they're going to be loaded onto a trailer or a bucky, taken to a place where they will be gutted and skinned, and then a couple of days later, up into pieces, made into biltong or sausages or something else. Those animals, my point is that they do not have the capacity to ask the question, very important question that you sometimes would ask. Does anyone care about my well-being? They don't have that capacity. You do have that capacity, and perhaps even more importantly, not just asking about physical well-being, but soul well-being. Does anybody care about my soul? There are times in life, and I'm sure even here this morning, when you feel, there may be some who feel a victim to a sniper, feeling vulnerable and hurt. But I'm going to show you today that as a believer, that you can be sure of the best kind of soul care possible. You really can be. But to better understand the best kind of soul care living in a world according to the theme that we're following over these past weeks, living in a world where we're struggling, I want you now to imagine not being in the shoes of an impala or a warthog, but being in the shoes of a sheep. So change the picture. One of the facts I learned this week about sheep in my preparation is they do not thrive well without a shepherd. And I quote, these are sheep, they tend to get into all kinds of trouble. They eat things that could hurt them. They easily fall prey to wild animals. The condition of the sheep is directly related to the care of the shepherd. Sheep need constant care. Does that sound familiar? I hope it does for you this morning. Left to ourselves, any one of us left to ourselves, we are prone to wander. We sing that hymn so often. Lord, prone to wander, prone to wander. And we wander from the light of the truth of the gospel so easily into darkness, into trouble, getting ourselves into all sorts of unnecessary trouble. We can so easily consume harmful material, and particularly today from so many of these social network platforms, it's not difficult to fall prey to the many schemes of the evil one. And so we need to understand, as we come to this familiar psalm, you will not thrive well without a shepherd to take care of your soul. And so, like the psalmist, encouragingly, I hope this morning you too can know the beneficial, and I've used these words very deliberately this morning, you can know too the benefit of soul care. Soul care given from that great shepherd of the sheep. But dear friends, there's a precondition very, very necessary, which brings me to my first point. You must personally know the shepherd. You cannot expect to receive the benefit. You cannot have the benefits. You cannot experience the benefits if you do not know the shepherd. If you have a look at the passage, you'll see that David identifies the Lord as my shepherd. Very, very importantly that we see that. In fact, if you look at the language, he makes some statements in the first couple of verses about what the shepherd does. We'll look at those details later. But even as he moves on in the passage and he gets through to verse 4, he begins to use very personal language. He speaks about I, first person, you, speaking of the shepherd. And so David knows it's not enough to own him just as a shepherd. He's not just one amongst many. There are many who claim to have opinions and views and perspectives. He knows it's not even enough to own him as the shepherd. No, no. There's a personal connectedness between the shepherd and the sheep. There's intimacy, there's relationship. And so along with David, it's important that you and I, as we gather here today, as we go about our lives, we must be able to say with conviction, the Lord Jesus is my shepherd. I am His. He is mine. There's a connectedness, knowing that on the basis, and it's providential, we meet around the Lord's table today, that Psalm 23 follows Psalm 22. And we if you do know Psalm 22, you can look back and see that it's all about the suffering servant. The servant who secures salvation for his sheep. And in fact, as Jesus says in John chapter 10, looking back, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep so that we can know him. So that there can be a relationship, there can be a personal connectedness. Having paid the price, each sheep belongs to him, the shepherd, and he loves each one deeply. And I want to personalize that this morning. He loves you as a sheep. If you're one of his, he loves you intimately. Listen to again Jesus in John chapter 10 and verse 27. My sheep, even as you sit here this morning, my sheep hear my voice. He speaks to you. He communicates with you. There's communion, there's engagement. And I know them. They follow me. I give them this wonderful gift. I give them eternal life. They will never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Did you get the point? We cannot claim the benefits from the shepherd unless there is a personal relationship with him. To know him, to experience the care, we do need to be in a relationship with him. And so again, back to the question. Does anyone care about your soul? Well, if you're able to confirm with conviction, able with conviction to say, the Lord, my shepherd. When we partake of communion later this morning, your body broken for me. Not just a general sense of atonement for the world. Yes, we can consider that for the church, but there needs to be a personal connectedness. His body given for me, his blood shed for me. And if you're able to confirm that, then we move on to the second point. You can know that you have all the care you need. I'm talking about soul care. Talking about your well-being before God in this life, and then of course as we move into the next life after death. It's a wonderful thing, and I hope this morning we don't take this for granted, to be on the receiving end of some of the wonderful caring acts of kindness from the generous hand of God. I want to remind you of these this morning. The Lord is my shepherd. That first line is followed by another phrase, very important phrase, I shall not want. Everything else follows from that. Identity in relationship and the consequence of giving that which is needed. Two realities. My shepherd, says David, provides the soul care that I need. So, in and through, this is a sub-point, in and through the different experiences of life, He provides the soul care that you need. Now, looking back, now I can't do this for you, but I can do this for me. But I'd like you to think about your own lives as you look back, and particularly looking back to difficult seasons. It seems to me that we learn most about the shepherd and his love for us and his intimacy and his concern and his care for us when we go through those difficult seasons of life. A couple of seasons, as I look back in my own life, painful, unexpected circumstances, looking back, seeing something of the caring and holding hand of God. In my 20s, long time ago now, I faced the season of growing temptation of material success. It was a struggle for me. Should I stay in secular work and industry? Or would I respond to the call of God to pastoral ministry? For years, I remember it so clearly. Carol and I struggling from 1983, where our pastor said to us, you don't go until you can do no other. And we only went eventually to study. I went back to study full time in 1989. But I learned, looking back on that, the lesson of eternal priorities. Through a difficult season. I want to mention this again this morning because I think it's a common, far too common experience amongst couples. We also, as a couple in our 30s, late 20s and 30s, we struggled with the issue of infertility. All our friends were having babies, left, right and center. We had got married first from our friendship group. No babies. No babies. Involved in children's ministry, involved in youth ministry, no babies. Tremendous pressure on a marriage. Struggled, and beginning to have serious doubts about God's goodness. Really struggled with that issue. The fact is, does God actually have an interest in us as a couple? But we came through that season. The shepherd. And looking back, learning about providence and the invisible hand of God. I wouldn't want it differently now. But then, it was very painful. I think even more tender for me now in recent years, facing, it was the horror of losing my wife to a terminal brain disease. And it wasn't just that alone. It was followed by a difficult season of what I would call painful leadership conflict. What have I learned from that? How did the shepherd navigate and bring me to learn in that situation? That season has thrusted me and pushed me to a greater dependence on God. And so my point is, life is not static. Sometimes our journey through life will be smooth and there will be straight stretches. Things are easy and comfortable and wonderful. But then there are other times when there are unexpected disappointments and bends in the road. Times of confusion, and it's normal to doubt God. It's normal to question the goodness of God. We go through these times. We fear the future. We have anxieties. There will be times of spiritual drought and decline, but also times of spiritual growth. Now I'm giving that picture. Now I want to give you a quote that certainly helped me to understand something of the weight of this particular psalm. And I quote from an old commentary known as the Pulpit Commentary. To feel in any measure the force and beauty of this psalm, you need to dress your thoughts in the bright colors of Eastern life. So don't be thinking the Karoo is not the same. Think Middle East. You must see the shepherd opening the well-guarded fold, walking at the head of his own flock, calling now one, now another by its name. You know what I discovered this week? Also in my research about sheep, just by the way. Do you know that we always say that sheep are very stupid, and there are some stupid sheep. But actually, sheep has an ability to recognize at least 50 people. Did you know that? I didn't know that. And so can you understand why in the Middle East there is this calling of the sheep? Calling now one, calling now another by its name, while the sheep willingly follow, for they know and love the shepherd's voice. See him in dewy morning, choosing their pasture, at hot noon, leading them to some tranquil hidden pool or hidden well, even ever on the watch, ready like David to do battle with lion, bear or wolf in their defense, rather than laying down his life, than leaving them to perish. The shepherd has interest and addresses particular needs of individual people in your particular situation as required. And I'm going to give you some of the examples as we are. He does so in times of restlessness. He satisfies the longing of your soul. David says of the good shepherd in the second verse, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Now again, get the picture, get the analogy, get the context. You see, sheep get hungry. They are living animals. They get thirsty. And especially sheep are normally raised in a dry context, a barren desert, and particularly in the context of the Middle East. And stones won't do. There's some poisonous bushes. They won't do. But they need to be sustained. They need to be nourished. They need food and they need water. You need to see, as I need to see, that each one of us human beings, unlike the animals, we are made in the image of God, and therefore you have a deep longing within your soul. You have an undeniable longing for meaning and fulfillment. Every single human being. And the deception is that, humanly speaking, living in the east of Pretoria, that you can survive on McDonald's. You can't. A diet of sensual pleasure or material success or multiple marriages or just fun in the sun for believers might make you feel in your stomach, your spiritual stomach, full. Only for a while. It won't be long where you feel meaninglessness. You'll feel that your soul is starving. And so we see here that this starving soul that we live with, that we have, the shepherd nourishes. He leads you by His Spirit in the green pastures of the Scriptures of truth. Folk, it's so important that we are fed, that we are nourished, that we are refreshed, that we are sustained by the Word of God. Always refreshing, always rich, never exhausted. You cannot exhaust the study of Scripture. You cannot exhaust that which God has revealed. We cannot exhaust even the very nature of understanding who God is. And so, thinking of the words of Jesus. Remember when He spoke of Himself as the bread of life. John chapter 6, verse 57. As the Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me will live. The Scriptures reveal Jesus as shepherd, as my shepherd. And so we need to be consuming the Word of God, and it's a receiving and it's a believing. And even this morning in the prayer meeting, praying, Lord, help us to see that the Word is not simply notional. It's not simply information. It's not just simply understanding a system of theology. It's more than that. The Word of God must be appropriated and applied to feed our souls. It makes me lie down, we're told here. David tells us, in so doing, enables us to perceive the usefulness and the preciousness of the truth that we feed on as we believe it. And then speaking of leading us beside still waters, I believe he's referring here to the influences, the graces of the Holy Spirit. His Spirit, quoting Spurgeon here, he says, His Spirit attends to us in various operations, like waters, to cleanse, to refresh, and to satisfy. But then moving on, the shepherd's care addresses particular needs in given situations. In times of weary struggle and straying, he invigorates your soul. Again, I want to quote that hymn, the line from that hymn, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Sometimes we consciously step away from God, disillusioned. Sometimes we unknowingly wander, just drifting away from God. Sometimes we're even unaware that our hearts have grown cold. And I think it's important to say that can happen to any one of us, whether we are pastors, elders, deacons, members. We can so easily be distracted. We can so easily get involved in organizational structures and duty. We can so easily become professionals. But for the faithfulness and kindness of God. Psalm 23 verse 3. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His namesake. Folks, the fact that we are able to say, I've known and walked with God over 30 years. For me, it's nearly 50 years, 48 years, 49 years. He is restored again and again. He's refreshed again and again. And after straying, being pulled back into His pathway. It's easy. It's easy for any of us to go down pathways of uselessness and darkness and destructiveness. But God, I thought of Nathan. Remember David when he lost his way? He was a man after God's own heart. And Nathan, God sends Nathan the prophet to him, tells him a little story, and David gets all self-righteous and uptight, and Nathan has to say to him, you're the man. Isn't that what the Scriptures do? Isn't that what the Spirit of God does as we're confronted with the preaching of the Word, or in the Bible study, in our own devotional life? And so restoring and refreshing and guiding each of us back onto this road of holiness for His name's sake. This good shepherd also shows tender care to those who are in His flock at death's door. He's your only comfort. Is it true to say that when you die alone? It depends what you mean by alone. Some have family by their side. I remember sitting with my mother for hours listening to that so-called terrible death rattle. And then eventually she left. Some people have a medical practitioner attending to them. Some people die in their sleep. My wife died in her sleep. Some die without anybody present. I often hear people say, I don't want to die alone, that somebody would be with me. And it is nice in some way to have somebody holding your hand. But even the one holding your hand cannot walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You will leave that person. That person will leave you. The one real comfort in this final struggle through death's door is the presence of the shepherd. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, the important symbolism here, they comfort me. The shepherd is not leading, he's now alongside. And what's he doing? He's armed with a rod and he's armed with a staff. The rod, a weapon of defense. And this is analogy, this is symbolism. And the staff is an implement of control, of leading. For the sheep, for the believer, for the one who belongs to the shepherd. The shepherd successfully escorts his sheep to eternal safety based on the reality of Jesus saying, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. You see, folk, anybody else alongside of us has to turn back. It's only the shepherd that can protect his sheep from the final enemy of death and control the journey out of the tent that we live in that perishes and bring us into that eternal house built, not built by human hands. Then there's another aspect of the Good Shepherd showing tender care. In times of seeming defeat, he promises final victory. Sheep are vulnerable, we know that. They have many predators, dangerous animals. The wolf, the bear, the lion. I know somebody down in the Northern Cape who said to me that they stopped farming in large flocks of sheep simply because of predators. It's just too difficult to protect them all the time, he said. And so believers, similarly, we believers have many enemies. It can be persecution from those who are unbelievers, those who are anti-Christ. It could be anybody who's seeking to hurt you because you're a believer. There is Satan himself, we know, who masquerades as an angel of light, behaving like a roaring lion. And then just troubles, living in a broken world. Troubles abound, their own sinful nature. And yet the psalmist here says to us, you prepare a table, verse 5, before me, in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Be encouraged. God has the final word over every single enemy you have as a believer. Have you noticed how the imagery changes in the psalm? From shepherd, the first couple of verses, now we notice in this next verse 5 that he's now described as a host, as a friend. The sense of having moved on a journey to a final place, a destination of victory, to permanent triumph. And look at the detail. A well-set table. There's festive oil. There's the brimming cup. All picturing this undisputed victory over God, of God, over his enemies. There's a day up ahead when every believer will feast on the abundance of God with every spiritual blessing in fullness. I want to close with implications, two of them, just very briefly. We do struggle. I don't know about you, I do wonder sometimes, does anybody care? I want to leave you with two convictions I think that are helpful from this particular psalm. Know as a sheep, know as a believer, someone who has been born again of the Spirit, that you will never lack anything that the shepherd considers good for you. Not what you think is good for you. Now, we don't always get it right. What he thinks is good for you. I shall not want. Yes, a lesson. It's a huge lesson. It's not an open door to the heresy of prosperity teaching, which is flourishing in Pretoria. It's nonsense. It's a lie. No such thing as this gospel of health and wealth and success. I shall not lack. It's the well-being of the soul being led by God through the difficulties of this life to the final destination in heaven. In this life you will have desires for food and for work and for a spouse and for children and for health and relief from pain. But in that and through that, you will not lack anything that God thinks is good for you. The road to glory may be bumpy. It is bumpy. It's riddled with corrugations and bends and steep and slippery slopes. But the shepherd will provide all you need to get to safely to your destination. And then just a final comment, a second conviction. Leave here this morning knowing that you have the prospect of good, now and forevermore. God does not and will not take His hands off of His sheep. Surely, verse 6, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, I do pray that you would help us to receive these words. So often familiar words can become cliched. Take us beyond that in stirring deep within our hearts and souls the reality of the great shepherd of the sheep. Knowing that we, Lord, can know you. Many here this morning do know you. And to follow you, to be led by you, to be refreshed by you. And even, Lord, remembering today the cleansing of sin through the work that you have completed. And so continue with us, Lord, as we sing and then as we even come to the table of remembrance. As we pray this, Lord, that indeed you would be exalted. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon. Find out more about Central Baptist Church at www.central.org.za.